Welcome to the Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And first thing I want to mention is, although you maybe not, you can't hear it in the audio version, we have new mic stands.
Ooh.
I wanted to thank our patrons and members for giving us the budget to be able to upgrade. So the one thing that you won't hear on the audio is the twang of those springs on, on the previous mic arms. Those were always getting bumped and always kind of wow.
Well, you may hear still a few bumps because the brim of my hat still kind of, I got to angle my head so I don't hit the mic, right?
So nothing is a perfect solution, but we're
this is close. Much better. Don't get me wrong. This is much better. Yeah.
All right. So this week on The Weekly, Marvel loses Conan.
Oh.
Quest RPG goes free. Another gigantic Batman Kickstarter.
Oh.
And Thirsty Sword Lesbians wins a Nebula
Award.
Oh,
I saw that, yeah.
All right. So let's start off with the first. Yeah, I thought this would be interesting. I thought you'd like this. So Marvel Comics is now losing the publishing rights to Conan. So they've literally been publishing Conan since 1969, kind of
really?
On and off. Yeah, originally it was in an anthology that where they reproduced like Edgar Allan Poe and Lovecraft, and there was a lot of comics versions called Chamber of Darkness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's where
I think I've read that, but I am aware of it. I think. So yeah, this is just the comic book rights?
Yeah, this is just publishing rights. But I'm kind of happy to see these go because the 70s run of Conan was very, it was original stories, but very true to the original text and had a, but you know, they had to lighten it up a bit and make it more 70s comic book. But it had great art, a nice look to it. And some great artists had worked on Conan. And I think all the way till like 93, they had in the Hyboria setting, Conan stories. But this recent iteration of Conan, I think some other companies, Dark Horse, I know, did
That's what I thought. I thought Dark Horse had them for a while.
They had in the 2000s. Dark Horse did a really nice version where they just adapted direct adaptations of stories. But this original version, I'm sorry, this most recent version, they are just putting Conan in the Avengers continuity. So Conan is a
kind of around
savage,
like the 80s?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't read, and it's possible. It's possible. But he had been kind of gone, maybe after they lost the rights in the 2000s, maybe he'd been gone. But I'd never read any of that.
Right.
I never wanted to go anywhere near it. And then when the Savage Avengers became a thing, he was a member. So you've got like Conan and Wolverine and Venom like fighting ninjas. It's like, okay, I guess, you know, 12-year-olds might be into that, but that was really, really disappointing. And the most recent series, King Conan by Jason Aaron and Mahmoud Azrar, had a little bit of a controversy at the end because one of the characters that they used was literally Pocahontas.
Oh, I remember this.
So people were like, wait,
not the comic book. I remember the kind of controversy around it and how, like, the point was like, yo, dude, at the time Pocahontas myth kind of happened, she's like not even a teenager.
Right, right.
And what did you do to her?
Mm-hmm.
And just don't. Right. So yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's so that only ran for 6 issues, and now we're just kind of done for a while. Mm. So yeah. So Conan survived a lot of stuff. I mean, I think people are probably most familiar with the John Milius film, the 82 Schwarzenegger film. That and then the most recent thing we've had is the Jason Momoa,
which is fucking unwatchable.
Yes.
Like
I can't
call that anything else, and it would still be a trash movie, but probably watchable. That you tried to pass this off as Conan is just like apart from the name of the character, and apart from maybe calling that one city Zamora, City of Thieves, there's like fucking no Conan in it at all.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to that script. That might be an interesting behind the scenes of.
It's also dark as shit and unwatchable.
Yes.
Visually dark. Like when you're looking at the screen and you go, I can't tell what the fuck is happening. Why am I watching this?
Yeah. Things with weak CG seem to tend that way. They'll make things nice and dark so you don't notice.
Let's cover up all these mistakes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so we're coming up on. Or actually, no, did we pass already the 100th anniversary of Conan? So 100 years in print if you start with the weird tales.
I forget when the first one was printed. I want to say like 32 or 33.
Oh, okay. So we're coming up on,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 20, because I think Robert E. Howard committed suicide early 30s.
Early 30s. Early 30s. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, so we're coming up on 100 years of Conan. So, yeah. And so the rights are now, it was Heroic Signatures, which we talked about, was this new company kind of formed from the rights that Paradox had and Cabinet Entertainment. So that was who they were renting Conan from. And so that's over. And so I guess they, you know, they weren't seeing decent sales or whatever, and it's not going to lead to any, you know, movie, Marvel-related stuff. So hopefully someone will pick it up. We had a potential Amazon series, but when Amazon's management changed, they killed it because it was too...
Well...
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I'm thinking, like, I wonder if you could do a Conan series. Oh, you probably could. I mean, okay. I'm thinking, like, Indiana Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s. Definitely pulp. If you did something like that...
Right.
It would... I think be a decent Conan.
Mm.
I wonder how popular it would be, though.
Right. Well, and I'd like to see it, you know, R-rated, not PG-13, not swinging a sword and somebody going, ah.
Oh, well, I mean, okay. I wouldn't necessarily need to see it, like, R-rated because, like, reading, like, the Robert E. Howard stories and other stories, like, okay, they're violent.
Mm.
And, like, yeah, people get their heads split open and Conan's talking about them, like, varnishing the floor with people's brains and all that stuff. But, like... They're not, like, super gory.
Mm-hmm,
so, like, yeah, seeing a sword swing and having someone go, ah, is, like, cheesy as fuck. So, like, I don't want that.
Right.
But I don't need, like, gallons of gore and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that would also not be Conan, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Conan's kind of, like, Conan never really, like, revels in violence. Like, he'll sure as fuck dish it out,
mm-hmm.
but, like, only when he needs to.
Right.
So I don't want to see, like, it's not gratuitous. And also, like, I want to say the nudity isn't really gratuitous. It's kind of like, oh, we're in a hot climate, so everyone kind of wears nothing, right? Kind of thing. It's a bit on the cheesy side, but yeah, I don't know. I would kind of want to see it like the first season of The Witcher. Season two is, I don't give a fuck. Sorry, like, I'm struggling through that thing. Like,
yeah,
I just don't. Care, right? Like, I just want to see Geralt and Jaskier walking around grumbling at shit and going, fuck, right? Like, and that's what I think a Conan series would have to be, because the stories are so short. It's like, there's, don't do a continuous narrative across a thing.
Right.
If anything, Conan's a king, and he's telling these stories
to
people.
Right.
Or he's in a tavern telling these stories to people, and each one is just a different story. Maybe you have a two-parter, but that's what I would want to see.
That's true. Yeah, and I think, though, everything is so addicted to a continuity now. So episodic TV, streaming doesn't like that. So, yeah, but no, I think you're right. That would be the most satisfying version of Conan is tales of, you know. Yeah,
super drunk. By the way, did I tell you the time?
Yeah, yeah. No, that would be really great. So, yeah, hopefully someone will pick the license up. You know, we'll see another Dark Horse run or something. Yeah.
New Patreon tier.
Yes. Yeah,
once we get to this high, Chris will buy the rights to Conan. Yes.
Oh, man, that would be great. Can you imagine putting that under license, under permission from, that would be great. Yeah.
Keep dreaming those dreams, kid.
We just have to find out, what that tier is. So once we reach the $25,000 tier. We'll see where he pops back up and if there'll be any other movie attempts. And there's always rumblings because Arnold's still alive of a King Conan movie, but that just never seems to happen.
Yeah, that might be okay. Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. But I was just happy that he is no longer part of the Savage Avengers.
Yeah, that seems kind of...
And I was just waiting for them to try to figure out, can we just, like, shoehorn a Conan cameo into a Marvel movie? But something that may actually make me take a look at this rule set.
Ooh, interesting.
Is Quest. The Quest RPG announced on their Twitter account that the PDF of their full rules is free now on their website. So I was kind of staying away from it because I didn't want to pay full price. I didn't need a physical book, and the PDF was not, anywhere near.
I considered backing that when it was kind of the new hotness. Because it looked like a fantastic book, and there was lots of chatter on Twitter, especially about, like, the design of the book and how much white space was there to be, like, accessible instead of that dense one-column thing from the OSR, right? But it was too expensive for the amount I was interested in.
Yes, yes.
Not saying it's a bad value, just saying I'm not that interested in it. But now if it's PDF, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they that was a weird decision to make it kind of boutique RPG expensive, but want it to be this accessible, beginner-friendly book. It's like...
I think they did something with schools, though.
They did,
I don't
know
the specifics,
No, I think so, too, yeah. No, I remember that they were giving away copies for, like, clubs, you know, if you wanted to start a club. So that was in 2019 that they first launched it, with the aim of being easy to learn, easy to play, clean layout, easy to understand rules. And Quest itself is just kind of taking place in this undefined world. Mm. And there's the only clues to the world building are just found in the descriptions of items and things. Right. So it kind of leaves it well open for players. And this was something that I didn't know existed. There's a free online publication called the Albatross Press that features audio news segments containing adventures from real life players and fiction surrounding the world. Huh. So everyone that's kind of playing this game and contributing to the world, they actually have like a, I don't know what that's a really weird way. I guess they don't want to say podcast. So it's audio news. I don't know what that means, but yeah, audio segments. So that maybe they just do interviews or let people kind of describe what they've accomplished in the world. But a single sheet for your character, and the way that you create the character is just answer questions about their history and how they present themselves. Right. And then you can choose, you know, fighter, thief, you know, kind of the basic classes. And then, of course, the system is a single D20. And so I remember hearing something about this, but I completely forgot. So it's a single D20 trying to roll over 11. The target is always 11. 6 to 10, the guide, not the GM, the guide gives you a choice of two kind of complications, I think they call them, and setbacks. A choice of two setbacks. And so that means you succeed at what you want to do if you roll over a 5 in anything. It's like, that's on a D20?
I've wondered about that.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder if there's a modifier there. Or is someone who likes bell curves in their dice? I'm kind of like... 50-50. Like, I don't mind the 50-50 chance, and like, I'm, as someone who likes, you know, Powered by the Apocalypse stuff, I'm cool with the you do it but and giving that narrative power to the player, where it's like, which of these bad things do you want to happen,
right?
So yeah. But the flat math of the D20 is kind of to me.
Yeah, so that didn't sound that's not anything I'd actually want to try. That sounds a little silly, but and the game was designed by TC Sotek, who is an executive editor at Verge. So immediately that was a bit of the criticism, is he instantly had this in promote this thing and, you know, have people review it and everything on a network. But they have released several expansions. The company that they released it through is called the Adventure Guild, and there's been several expansions, a character book featuring 100 different characters and for guides to use, or players, I guess, to use as a starter, and a treasure book as well. And the next thing that's coming is the Cosmic Fantasy Edition. So they're going to do a sci-fi.
Yep, yeah, I saw that. Yep.
Quest sci-fi.
I would imagine they kind of take the same approach, where we're not really going to define the setting beyond these little bits in character creation and item stuff, which, I mean, people like settings, and setting gives you a great point to jump off. On the other hand, not having any setting allows you to use it for much more than if you included one.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. And the things that, you know, kind of when you make the world your own, I think, you become much more attached to it and much more curious about, you know, what will kind of unfold. So, yeah. I'm curious to look at the book now to see if the layout is that clear, if it's really starter friendly. I just think the mechanics are a little silly.
Well, maybe. I'd have to see, too. But for people like us, I often wonder and think about how we're probably not the best people to judge how accessible and easy to learn
a
role-playing game is.
We've got
too many assumptions. We'd be like, oh, I know exactly what you're doing here, right?
Right.
The real test would be to, like, give it to someone who's never played a game before and say, could you run this? What does it look like? How is it? Yeah.
No, that's true. So, but that's good that it's free. And so is that a sign that they're desperate for new players, or that they, because they're going to move on to a new setting, they just want to open what they've already done, they want to make it available as accessible and as available as possible?
I think there's some other options in the middle there, right?
It's black or white. One or zero. That's how I live.
I don't know. Mm. I said I don't know anything about the company. Like, I would doubt that they're kind of, like, desperate for players, right? They probably just said, okay, this has been around long enough. Based only on me doing it, a free PDF where I check it out and I go, oh yeah, you know what? This is cool. I often then go buy the physical product.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I said, I like the thing you made. I want to support it. And I'm sure that I'm going to at least enjoy it if you find I get a chance to run it.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be other people like that, right?
Right.
So I don't...
And this isn't really different from the Iron Sworn model.
Exactly. Yeah, that's yeah. And that was the big one.
Right. Right.
This is awesome. Buy all the physical books.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. And another RPG, which we may or may not like the mechanics of, the rule set of, but is now available on Kickstarter. And this is part of the kind of blockbuster, giant, smash hit Batman Gotham City Chronicles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
Third season of Gotham City Chronicles. So this is Monolith, so the same company, the French company that did the Conan board game. And it looks like the mechanics of the board game are very similar. You're moving in these areas and you're kind of have this power mechanic. So you've got these power points that you spend to do different things. Okay. Yeah. And so that looks, you know, like what they did with Batman. And for this third season, they're releasing, of course, more expansion, another like full expansion for the board game, but also a TTRPG for Batman. And that made me stop and think. So this is different from what we've talked about before. Like we were talking about, if you play Conan or Star Wars or whatever, you don't play any named characters. You may interact with them as NPCs. In this, you choose a named character. Do you want to play Batman? Do you want to be the Joker? Like, who do you want to play? So you literally choose. They stat out all of the existing characters in this universe and say, who do you want to play?
How would you? Okay, Batman can have a little team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he's got some pals. Yeah.
Right,
he's got a ward. So I get, but it's pretty big now. The Bat people group is getting pretty big. Like I hadn't followed the comics closely for a while, and already that world has expanded so much that the villains, the set of villains is huge now, and there's a lot of Bat Knight dark people on his side. So and this is already headed towards $1 million,
of course.
Yeah,
of course.
So the system that it's using though is a D20 Untold Tales Modern, which is an existing French RPG system that I hadn't heard of before. But I read through the quick start rules, mm-hmm. and there's a couple of things. I mean, you know, it's D20 and you can be scaled down to a D12. Like sometimes you will be rolling a D12 that can't crit or fail. Like, okay. So, and the reason that they're doing that is the types of characters you play. So you have to be able to play a mix.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Of non-powered, non-superhero, non-powered superhero, and powered superhero.
Right,
so it's
right.
kind of like three types of characters that have to work all together within the system. And so, you know, as a non-powered, non-superhero, that if you take a swing at, you know, Batman, it's not going to go well.
It might. He's a non-powered, but he's a superhero, right?
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. And another thing that they did is there's no alignment, but there are these four stats that you have a score in that it's kind of your opinion of, you know, justice, anarchy, crime, and something else. And I thought that was an interesting approach because that gives you access to things. You either don't have access or have access to things depending on that score. So you can do criminal things or you would never do criminal things based on that score. So I thought that was an interesting approach to how these characters would be flavored and then what you can kind of do. And I wonder if that is a something that might help with people that really like alignment, something that gave you like more specific guidelines about, you know, lawful good. Yeah, you only do this, and so you're not doing any stabbing of wounded.
Okay, let's be honest. The alignments are trash. All right, like lawful good means you follow the laws, right? Whatever the laws of the place you're. That's right. Like this famous story is about. Well, slavery's legal here.
Right. That's right? A law. So,
yeah, exactly. No, that's trash. It kind of reminds me of like values in like Cortex Prime games, or like those shifting labels in Masks, where in Masks it was other people's opinion of you, because fitting other people's opinion was a big thing as being a teen.
Right. Right.
In this one, it sounds like how much do I value me, the character, my character, how much do I value these things and what does that kind of allow me to do? So that's pretty interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, I would like, I like stuff like that more than alignment, where it's just like views rather than a straitjacket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was interesting. So the quick start is available on the Kickstarter page if you want to take a look at how the basic mechanics work. a beginning pledge for just the role-playing game is $59 already, though, and that's just getting you the core book, basically.
As a physical hardback?
Physical hardback book, yeah.
Well, that's average and price.
It's got some nice artwork on it. So the full, kind of everything they're offering, like the guide to Gotham City and like a character book and then the core rules is $134. So, and the DM screen.
Like three books and a DM screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all wonderfully illustrated. Then the whole shebang, like the new expansion, everything is like $268. So it gets a little dear. And I'm sure there's an all-in where you can order the previous seasons, probably, the original core game. So you can probably drop like, yeah,
$500.
Yeah, right? Easily. Yeah, wow. Probably. But yeah, if you want to catch up on all that, I just don't know. I guess, you know, maybe, and that's what the temptation probably is well, then you'll have the plastic for the RPG and because you'll have all of those characters. You'll have a nice miniature of all of those characters to use. And then you can also use it with the board game.
Right.
So I don't know. So I was thinking about, okay, do I want to play Batman and how interesting would that be? And like looking at the comic book art, you know, just it's the very standard, like current, you know, Batman Dark Knight or Detective Comics looking DC artwork. And I was thinking, but there have been a lot of like alternate universe, like weird, like dark metal Batman and like all kinds of like Batman in an asylum where his cape was just like the tattered remains of a straitjacket. There's been some visually really interesting stuff. So if you don't use any of the visuals and you just make it like a theater of the mind, like weird Batman adventure, that could be pretty cool. I mean, there could, because you know the archetypes of who the Joker is, who the Riddler is, who the Penguin is, and if you kind of twist them into the, okay, we're just going to play like steampunk Batman, let's try this, you know, let's, you know, and everybody agrees on that setting and we, you know, have some parameters, then like how the comics have played around with that character, that might be fun to do. Like the Batman who laughs is like basically Batman is the villain and the Joker is trying to stop him. So, you know, playing with things like that. So not following a pre-written adventure, but you could homebrew some kind of interesting Batman stuff. I don't know if the mechanics and the rule set would fit that very well, but it's like, okay, I guess there is something there. Yeah. It's possible, but it just like playing straight Batman. Like I want to play the current comic book continuity doesn't have that much appeal.
I'm sure it does to somebody, right?
You know, almost $1 million.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing too, is because this is a, bilingual company, they do everything in both French and English. That's exposing. I mean, I'm sure Europeans know who Batman is, but they didn't grow up with it. They don't have nostalgia. They don't have this like, oh, the Dark Knight, you know, connection to,
or the jokey Adam West,
or the Adam West, the bam zip pow,
shark repellent.
Yeah, right. So you know, they don't have that same history with the character. I'm sure it's kind of made it over there, but it didn't have the cultural impact
like the movies, though.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, ever since the late 80s, that's true. There have been Batman movies. So, yeah, I'm sure that's where that comes from. So, yeah, not the comics. I guess maybe it's never been the comics. But so that's interesting that it's opened completely to, you know, this whole setting with all of these. Because a lot of these villains and stuff are modern, very new iterations. Red Hood and things are very current things in the Batman universe. So they wouldn't know that, not knowing the comics. They wouldn't know that maybe from some animation or something. But I thought that was, yeah, that's opening this IP to a pretty broad market. And there's obviously appeal. But
there is.
Again, why Kickstarter? You don't think Batman can sell board games?
We've had this discussion. Risk mitigation.
Yes. Yeah,
risk
right.
Mitigation, right?
Yeah, and they've, you know, three seasons. And also, Matt and I were talking. So we talked about Kickstarter. So last week when we missed and I was in quarantine, we talked about, yeah, it's the risk mitigation. Plus, you can just keep using the money from the next, you know, the next Kickstarter to finish paying for the last one. So if you run into any financial problems, so you're on this treadmill.
That's kind of dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Because then you'll just like the last one, you'll just be like, okay, let's leave town.
Yeah.
Like, guess what? Come on.
There is no more. No money. It all went to fulfilling that last Kickstarter we did. Yeah.
Right. So
Kickstarter to finish our previous Kickstarter.
But that was like the Canon Films model, though. Like they would just, they made like 20 films a year, like 20 some films a year, and would literally, the box office from the previous film from the previous month would go to pay the budget for the film they were filming now. So yeah, that model does exist in the world. And I guess it would work. It has worked for board games for a while. Yeah. So Batman. So when I read the rules and then I was thinking about it, I'm like, there is something there. I don't know if I'd ever want to do it, but weird Batman would be kind of fun because, yeah, there. If people are familiar enough with that setting, then they could play around with it, like what kind of Batman they are and what kind of world it is. Yeah, sure.
Why not? I'm thinking of that. Batman Beyond is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, the kind of the cyberpunk, yeah. Like, yeah. Wasn't the Joker like an AI or something? Yeah, there was like some... Yeah, so yeah, there's... Because the comics have been... The writers for the comics and the artists have been really playful. Visually, there's been some amazing... They haven't been great reads, but visually, there's been some really amazing iterations of Batman. But yeah, not... This is a pretty vanilla presentation, of course. Because it has to be.
Batman himself seems pretty vanilla.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. We don't know what that group of dark young folks does at night.
Okay, I was thinking specifically Bruce Wayne. He seems pretty mayonnaise underneath that black cowl.
right. Yes. All right. And finally, this was interesting, and I wonder what effect this is going to have, like on people choosing games, or like, you know, kind of the either credibility or just people being able to say this is a good game, because now we have the Nebula Awards.
Right,
with a new category. So. Starting in, I think last year, they started the award. Let me specifically get the title of this award. It's Writing for Games. Mm. So the Nebula Awards is the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America Awards. And I think 2021 was the first year that they had this category. It's just best game writing.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's the same definition as itch.io has. So video game writing and tabletop game writing apply. But this year, the Evil Hat game, Thirsty Sword Lesbians, was the winner. And they were competing. They had a pretty competitive group to choose from. So Coyote and Crow, Grimace Hand, Grimace Hand, Wanderhome, and Wildermyth were also in contention. So
were any of those video games?
It's possible.
Okay, like I know Coyote and Crow, I know Wander Home. Those are both pen and paper RPGs.
Wildermyth.
Yeah, I don't know what the other ones are.
Because previously, Outer Worlds and Supergiant's Hades, I guess 2020. Yeah, so previous. So those are both video games. So. Does this lend some credibility? I mean, yeah, you did good writing, but is it a playable system? I mean, it's a funny thing to kind of break out and say.
I also don't know what they mean. I'd have to go look at this. I don't know what they mean by video game writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because games are something that are meant to be played, and so game books kind of have to be like a technical manual.
Right.
But they also don't have to be written like a technical manual, right? Like they can be... So I'm not... I have a copy of Thirsty Sword Lesbians and the expansion waiting for me in the States if this fucking pandemic ever ends, right? And I suppose I have the PDF so we could play if this pandemic ever fucking ends, right? But, and I don't know what best game writing in this context means, right? It means, did you clearly convey the information of how to play?
Mm-hmm.
Or is like the tone and prose of your writing, is this award worthy? Right. And I'm not saying this is undeserved at all. I'm saying I have no idea how you would fucking judge this.
Right. Yeah, and I guess it would have to be mostly for the adventures, the scenario, and the world building, because like roll a d6, it's like, oh, I love how they didn't say throw. They did. It's like, wait, so there's a lot of, like you're saying, the technical manual, the technical writing that you're not going to be able to judge. So it must be for the adventure setting and maybe interaction. So maybe, I don't know.
But I think like Thirsty Swords Lesbian has no, like, kind of like we were discussing with Quest, there are maybe kind of like little setting ideas in the back, kind of like the Cortex Prime book, but it's kind of like, this is designed, I'm pretty sure it's written to encompass a lot of stuff based on which playbooks you choose for character archetypes. So,
oh, interesting. But maybe that what is a role-playing game section was amazing at the beginning of that.
As someone who's tried to fucking write one of those things, I hate them, right?
Yes.
But they're kind of necessary, unfortunately.
What is a role-playing game?
Yeah.
You had to ask. So we'll see in the future, like, what other games get attention for this. And if this, what does this do? Like, what, you know, I guess you have a sticker now that can go on the front of the book, Nebula Award-winning, but... Does that attract a new audience? Does that make current players say, this is confirmation?
I don't know, because I'm not up on my non-game books enough to know. Mm. I wonder if winning the Nebula Award encourages bookstores which
largely
don't fucking exist anymore.
Yeah,
if it encourages bookstores to buy copies of your book and kind of put in front of the center for like a, you know, the Nebula Award winners list.
Yeah.
And if it's a TTRPG with a physical book, if it wins, does that encourage Borders, if they exist, or Barnes & Noble, all these places to like kind of like put it front and center somewhere?
Yeah, that's probably true, because the, you know, it winning an award will make somebody curious, and then, oh, they see it at a store with that reminder of, oh, yeah, this won that award. Yeah, so I wonder, yeah. It's a funny thing to do, and I guess they're probably just reaching out and realizing there was a lot of good fantasy and sci-fi writing going on in the tabletop scene, and they want to kind of acknowledge it. And it seems like from who they nominate that they are picking some good, or at least interesting, you know, interesting settings. And
fuck you, Wizards of the Coast. Sorry. We're just never going to get sponsored. So whatever. I stopped caring. Yeah.
Right.
Though, yeah. Like I said, I will gladly sell out if some Wizards actually does decide to sponsor us, right? Yes,
right. You'll be sitting right in there with the Critical Role.
I'll get my rainbow and ampersand shirt as I sit here and wax poetic on all the Sword Coast or whatever the goddamn... I don't know.
You'll be playing a Fey Bunny before...
oh, my God. Yes. Hey, if someone pays me... Oops, there's my hat again. If someone pays me, I will. And I have repeatedly said that, so... Yeah.
So, Girl for Hire, as we'll just put that below the video.
If there's like a chevron that we can pop up, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so I thought that was fun and interesting news. And it just means like independent, smaller games are getting recognized, because they definitely could have taken a look at one of the current, you know, 5e settings or something to...
Or something big, right. And to be fair, Evil Hat's not exactly small.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely like mid-tier, right?
Right. Yeah, so I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's it for this week.
Cool.
So, where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always. That's HiveMind, HYVEMYND. That's also Instagram, where in addition to spamming stuff about the shit political state of the states, that's interspersed with pics of new miniatures, since I got a little light box, and wow, that makes taking pictures of miniatures look a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
So talking about like Stargrave and Brawl Arcane and the new like Necropolis 28 and all these little indie skirmish war games. And
we'll have to do a marathon, just like, you know, one a week.
Okay, we're taking a week off from work and we're just going to marathon all these games. Yeah.
Yeah, but just do like, just try to meet and do one a week and just like do a learning game of each of these, just so people can
see this. Figure out how much it costs us a week on salary and then just say, once we hit this, take a week off from work.
It's actually a surprisingly small amount.
Oh, goddamn.
This is Japan. Is Japan.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. How about you?
Oh, so I am doing my single panel gag cartoon, so Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitter. Twitch and on Twitter as well is Abuse Cartoons on social media, and you can find the archive of the cartoons gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you want to support what we're doing here and get us even fancier microphone stands, please consider becoming a weakling on Patreon. So patreon.com/upturntable. And thank you very much. I didn't do the next week. Sorry, been disrupted. Yeah, credit. So we've got two new patrons that I want to thank very much. So we'll officially thank you next week. I don't have any graphics ready. And
fire our graphics guy.
Yes, that guy is gone. And Patreon.com/upturntable, upturntable.com for everything that we're doing. We just did the unboxing a little bit late because we got it last of the Return to Dark Tower, but you got to see those miniatures. Those pre-washed miniatures are pretty impressive for board game. And we will be back next week.
Yep. Later, mortals.
Goodbye.